This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, his family and his companions, and his followers until the Day of Judgment. My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The title of my speech today is The Middle Gate of Jannah, The Middle Gate of Paradise. And this title was taken from the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a narration which is reported by Ibn Majah and at-Tirmidhi, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, parents are the middle gate of paradise. As you might know, the paradise has several gates, 8 gates. Each one of these gates was named after one of the great acts of worship in Islam. And the middle gate of Jannah was made specifically for those who are good to their parents, for those who are dutiful to their parents. But I would like to say something in the beginning, that this topic is not meant only to be for your children. It's also applied to you. Because each one of us, even if we have children, even we have daughters and sons, we were also children. And we have parents. And we need to ask ourselves if we are good with our parents as well, as we want now our kids to be good to us. My brothers and sisters, this topic is a very important topic in Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Almighty in His book, whenever He mentioned the order of being dutiful and good to your parents, He made it comes directly after ordering us to worship Him alone. For instance, Allah said, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah decreed upon you that you worship Him alone and not to worship other than Him, and to be good and dutiful to your parents. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرُ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. If one of them or both of them attain an old age, treat them with respect and don't say anything to them which is show any kind of disrespect or frustration. That to the extent Allah forbid that the person say to his parents, Uff, wala taqul lahuma uffin, wala tanharhuma, waqul lahuma qawlan kareema. Don't say to them uff, which is an expression of frustration or anger at them, because maybe they are old and you're getting tired and frustrated from their requirements, their requests, and the service that you offer them. My brothers and sisters, Allah said to us, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. You should address them in honor and respect. And you should say, Oh Allah, put your mercy upon them as they brought me up when I was a child. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud once asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the most beloved deed to Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to pray on time. Then he said, then what, ya Rasulullah? He said, to be good and dutiful to your parents. بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. That's the second thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. The second most beloved act of worship to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no doubt that every believer in that time was looking forward to be with the Prophet Muhammad in Medina. Any believer will not hesitate to do anything, whatever it takes him or her, to move to Medina to be in the company of the Prophet ﷺ, to be a companion. And I ask you today, If you believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wouldn't you want to be there with him in Medina and to live with him and to protect him and to support him and to offer all kind of service to this Prophet and the Messenger that who brought this message to you and this guidance to you? Every believer will wish to do that. On the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man came to him. This man was driven by this feeling, the love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I came to give you my pledge that I will migrate to Medina and I will be one of your followers and one of your soldiers. And I left my home just to be with you. The Prophet ﷺ asked him. He said, you have parents. And in another narration he said, what have made you do that? He said, I did that because I'm seeking the reward from Allah. I want to be rewarded, a great reward from Allah, by serving you and being with you. Then the Prophet ﷺ asked him, do you have parents? He said, yes, I have parents. And I left them crying back home because I left them. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, if you're seeking the reward, if that's what really you're after, then go back to them and make them laugh as you made them cry. The Prophet ﷺ ordered him to go back and to serve them. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, do you have parents? He said, yes, I have a mother. And it could be a different incident. The Prophet ﷺ said, go serve your mother. Go look after your mother. By doing that, you will receive the reward of paradise, or the paradise will be your reward. And in another narration, he said, be next to her feet. By doing that, you will go to paradise, which it means be always there for her, to serve her, and to help her, next to her. Once the Prophet ﷺ said, he's a great loser, he's a great loser, he's a great loser. They said, who is this person, Ya Rasulullah? He said, the one who, one of his parents, attained an old age, and that person will not enter paradise, reported by Muslim. You know why? Because serving them and taking care of them, especially after they became old, where they cannot help themselves anymore as they used to be in their early age, will cause you to go to paradise. It's a such hasana, it's a such reward, it's a such a great reward that it will lead you to paradise. My brothers and sisters, once a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have committed a great sin. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, do you have a parent? Why he's asking him that? Because if he has parents and he would take care of them, that good deeds will erase the bad deeds that he made or committed. Then he said, no, both of my parents passed away. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, do you have an aunt, Khala? He said, yes. He said, take care of her, and that will take care of your sin. Al-Khala, your aunt, is like your mother. That's why some of the scholars said that being dutiful to your parents, looking after your parents, serving your parents, that's a good deed, can erase the major sins that the person might commit in his life or in her life. Let's have a quick break. Then we'll come back to see some practical example of the early Muslim generations, how they used to take care of their parents. So stay tuned. Welcome back. We're talking about the virtues of being good and dutiful to your parents. And we said that the Prophet ﷺ said that being dutiful to your parents and good to your parents, that will lead you to the middle gate of Jannah, which is the widest, the most beautiful, where there is a reward will not be seen in any other gates. This gate will be entered only by those who are so good and dutiful to their parents. My brothers and sisters, before I talk about some examples of how the early Muslim, righteous Muslim generations, they used to treat their parents, Just a quick reminder that being good to your parents will lead to paradise. Being dutiful to your parents will lead that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless your life, which it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless your provision, your income, and bless your life. The Prophet ﷺ said, whomever wish that Allah will increase his provision and increase his lifespan in this life, he or she should be dutiful to their parents. It is one of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with you. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will be angry at you when your father or your mother is angry at you. And Allah will be pleased with you when your parents are pleased with you. So it's one of the ways to gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings and to gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's acceptance. My dear brothers and sisters, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu arda used to pass by his mother's house every day. Whenever he leaves the house in the morning, he would pass by his mother and say, As-salamu alayki ya ummah. As-salamu alaykum, my mother, as you have took care of me when I was young. Then she would reply by saying, Wa alaykum as-salam, my son, as you've been taking care of me when I became old. My brothers and sisters, we all know that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet who always was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, documenting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. Abu Hurairah never narrated or never described to us the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed Hajj. The scholars said the reason for that Abu Hurairah did not go with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Hajj because his mother was not feeling good, and he rather to stay with his mother, looking after her, taking care of her, then going with the Prophet ﷺ to perform Hajj. Even though he knows that he might not ever get this chance again in his life. But his mother is more important than that. There is a man, his name Uwais al-Qarni. The Prophet ﷺ said to Umar, whenever you see this man, ask him to pray for you. Ask him to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive your sins. Ask him to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you the paradise. Who's Uwais al-Qarni? What is so special about this man? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned him, even though Uwais never saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He believed in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he never met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know why, my brothers and sisters? Because his mother was sick in Yemen, and he couldn't travel to Medina to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and leave his mother behind him, sick and nobody taking care of her. He stayed with her until she passed away. Then after that, he came to Medina, but it was late because the Prophet ﷺ passed away already. When Umar met him, he asked him to pray for him as the Prophet ﷺ asked Umar to do. My brothers and sisters, are we willing to give up something that we love because we want to serve and to take care of our parents? Another example of a great imam, his name Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala. This imam, he used to respect and to love his mother so much. His mother used to ask him to take care to a man, his name Amr ibn Dhar. This Amr ibn Dhar is an old man, an imam in that community. But the mother always known Amr ibn Dhar as the imam, as the sheikh of the city or the community. Even though her son Abu Hanifa is the greatest imam in his time. Anyway, Abu Hanifa will carry his mother and will go to Amr ibn Dhar to ask him questions. And after she asks him the questions, Amr ibn Dhar will look at Abu Hanifa and say, she's asking me and you are her son. Everybody traveled from all over the world to come to study under you. And now she's asking me? He said, yes, because she trusts you. Then he would ask Abu Hanifa, what's the answers for these questions? Abu Hanifa will tell Amr ibn Dhar the answer secretly. Then he will tell Abu Hanifa's mother the answer, because Abu Hanifa doesn't want to embarrass his mother. He never ever told his mother, that's enough, mother. I can answer you. I'm the one who always give the answers. No. He kept taking her every time she asked to go to that man. He kept taking care of her all his life, rahimahullah ta'ala. When he was forced to be a judge and he said, no, I can't be a judge. I don't want to be a judge. He was actually beaten and humiliated by the ruler in that time, and it happened that he was wounded in his forehead and he started bleeding. So he was seen crying. He told him, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Because I know if my mother will see this wound in my forehead, she will cry and she will be sad. And this is the last thing I want to happen in this world, to make my mother sad or to see her crying." My brothers and sisters, those people, even they are great imams, great scholars, very famous, but still their mothers and their fathers means a lot to them. When Abu Hanifa's father passed away, he said, "I used to give charity every month on his behalf. And I kept for a whole year making only dua for him and my Sheikh Hamad, that Allah forgive them." There is a scholar, his name, Dabyan ibn Ali. He said, "Once I had an argument with my mother, and she went to sleep while she has something in her heart against me." He said, "I couldn't go to sleep. I stood up the whole entire night next to her bed. When she woke up for Fajr and she saw me next to her, she said, 'Why are you standing here for? Are you okay?' He said, 'Mother, I couldn't go to sleep, and I know there is something in your heart against me. I couldn't go to sleep.'" How many times you have made your parents angry and mad at you, and you left the home, and you left the house, and you didn't even bother yourself to apologize, or even care how they're feeling. Another example, those people treated their mothers and their father different than the way today so many of us treat their parents. Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, another great imam, he said, "My brother once spent the whole night praying, and I spent the night massaging my mother's feet." He said, "I think that what I've been doing the whole night, much better in Allah's eyes than what my brother was doing." Another example of another great imam. His name is Haywa ibn Shuraih, one of the greatest Muslim jurists in Medina. Once was teaching his students, and you can imagine a teacher and a great teacher sitting in the teacher and a great teacher sitting in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, teaching his students. And all of a sudden his mother comes with a bag full of seeds, and she tells him, "Go ahead and feed the chicken." And he leaves the class to feed the chicken. Then he comes back to continue his class. He didn't feel that this is insulting, or this is wrong, or this is not right, because he knows that his mother, she has right on him. Also, Ibn Aun, once his mother called him, he replied with a louder voice. He said, "I consider that a sin, and I free slave for that. I consider that a sin, and I repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from it." He said, "I will never walk over a roof, and I know my mother is underneath of me, out of respect to her and to his father." My brothers and sisters, there's so many examples like this from the history and the life of the scholars. No matter how old they are, how famous they are, how rich they are, but they still have this great respect to their parents. It is so sad when you hear today about children that they never called their parents. They never bothered to pick up the phone, at least to call them in a weekly basis or on a monthly basis, which is not acceptable even monthly basis. In a weekly basis, in a daily basis, ya akhi, ya akhti. It is sad to see children living a luxurious life, enjoying, mashallah, what Allah have bestowed upon them, and their parents are poor. They don't have enough money to live a comfortable life. It is sad that you know that there is some children raise their voice over their parents, stare at their parents, looking straight to their eyes and challenge them. And a'udhu billah, even worse, some might use physical force against their parents. That cannot come out of a Muslim, that he or she will use such attitude with his or her parents. My brothers and sisters, one of the things I would like to mention in related to the subject, that there is so many children cut their ties with their parents, and sadly because of their spouses. So the husband doesn't want his wife to call her mother or to call her father. And the wife tried to get her husband away from his parents. She will not let him support his parents. And he will not let her support her parents. And the husband or the wife can be the reasons for his wife or her husband, for their spouse to commit one of the worst sins. The Prophet ﷺ said that the worst sin is to commit shirk, to worship other than Allah, then to treat your parents bad, or not to be dutiful and good to your parents. رقوق الوالدين. And in the end, my brothers and sisters, I would like to say that in Islam, there is something it's called rights and duties. Al-Islam, as much as he gives people rights, as much as also put duties on them. Al-Islam, yes, have given the parents so much rights, but he put so much duties on them. So this issue should not be taken from one perspective, because I have seen also some parents, all what they care about, their rights. But what about their children's rights? Islam always balanced this. As much as Islam asks you to be good to your parents, also ask the parents to be good to their children. Al-Islam gave rights to the rulers, but also in the same time, Islam gave rights to the public, to the common people. Al-Islam gave rights to the scholars, but in the same time, have given rights to the public over the scholars. So it's balance in Islam. It's not right and it's not acceptable for some parents to misuse this rights or positions that Allah have given them, to use it for personal reasons. That's why when a man came to Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and said, my father ordered me to divorce my wife, and my wife is a such good righteous woman, should I obey my father? And Imam Ahmad said no. So the man said, but Ibn Umar, his father asked him to divorce his wife, and he divorced her. Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, if your father like Umar, divorce her. He's saying that today, people will start misusing the rights, and anybody will misuse his rights, he lose it. That's why if a father, for example, refused to give his daughter to marriage for no good reason, the judge has the right to take this from him. My brothers and sisters, I think we should balance this. So the children should be good to their parents, and parents should take care of their children. With this, I would come to the conclusion of my episode today. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. I came to give you my pledge that I will migrate to Medina, and I will be one of your followers and one of your soldiers. And I left my home just to be with you. The Prophet ﷺ asked him, he said, you have parents. And in another narration he said, what have made you do that? He said, I did that because I'm seeking the reward from Allah. I want to be rewarded, a great reward from Allah, by serving you and being with you. Then the Prophet ﷺ asked him, do you have parents? He said, yes, I have parents. And I left them crying back home because I left them. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, if you're seeking the reward, if that's what really you're after, then go back to them and make them laugh as you made them cry. The Prophet ﷺ ordered him to go back and to serve them. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, do you have parents? He said, yes, I have a mother. And it could be a different incident. The Prophet ﷺ said, go serve your mother. Go look after your mother. By doing that, you will receive the reward of paradise, or the paradise will be your reward. And in another narration, he said, be next to her feet. By doing that, you will go to paradise, which it means be always there for her, to serve her and to help her. Next to her. Once the Prophet ﷺ said, he's a great loser. He's a great loser. He's a great loser. They said, who's this person, Ya Rasulullah? He said, the one who one of his parents attained an old age, and that person will not enter paradise. Reported by Muslim. You know why? Because serving them and taking care of them, especially after they became old, where they cannot help themselves anymore as they used to be in their early age, will cause you to go to paradise. It's a such hasana, it's a such reward, it's a such a great reward that it will lead you to paradise. My brothers and sisters, once a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulallah, I have committed a great sin. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, do you have a parent? Why he's asking him that? Because if he has parents and he would take care of them, that good deeds will erase the bad deeds that he made or committed. Then he said, no, both of my parents passed away. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, do you have an aunt, Khala? He said, yes. He said, take care of her, and that will take care of your sin. Al-Khala, your aunt, is like your mother. That's why some of the scholars said that being dutiful to your parents, looking after your parents, serving your parents, that's a good deed, can erase the major sins that the person might commit in his life or in her life. Let's have a quick break. Then we'll come back to see some practical example of the early Muslim generations, how they used to take care of their parents. So stay tuned. Welcome back. We're talking about the virtues of being good and dutiful to your parents. And we said that the Prophet ﷺ said that being dutiful to your parents and good to your parents, that will lead you to the middle gate of Jannah, which is the widest, the most beautiful, where there is a reward will not be seen in any other gates. This gate will be entered only by those who are so good and beautiful to their parents. My brothers and sisters, before I talk about some examples of how the early Muslim, righteous Muslim generations, they used to treat their parents, just a quick reminder that being good to your parents will lead to paradise. Being dutiful to your parents will lead that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless your life, which it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless your provision, your income, and bless your life. The Prophet ﷺ said, whomever wish that Allah will increase his provision and increase his lifespan in this life, he or she should be dutiful to their parents. It is one of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with you. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will be angry at you when your father or your mother is angry at you. And Allah will be pleased with you when your parents are pleased with you. So it's one of the ways to gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings and to gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's acceptance. My dear brothers and sisters, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu arda used to pass by his mother's house every day. Whenever he leaves the house in the morning, he would pass by his mother and say, As-salamu alayki ya ummah. As-salamu alaykum, my mother, as you have took care of me when I was young. Then she would reply by saying, Wa alaykum as-salam, my son, as you've been taking care of me when I became old. My brothers and sisters, we all know that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who always was with the Prophet ﷺ, documenting the Prophet ﷺ's life. Abu Huraira never narrated or never described to us the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ, how the Prophet ﷺ performed Hajj. The scholars said the reason for that Abu Huraira did not go with the Prophet ﷺ to Hajj because his mother was not feeling good. And he rather to stay with his mother, looking after her, taking care of her, than going with the Prophet ﷺ to perform Hajj. Even though he knows that he might not ever get this chance again in his life. But his mother is more important than that. There is a man, his name Uwais al-Qarni. The Prophet ﷺ said to Umar, whenever you see this man, ask him to pray for you. Ask him to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive your sins. Ask him to Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you the paradise. Who's Uwais al-Qarni? What is so special about this man? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned him, even though Uwais never saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He believed in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he never met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know why, my brothers and sisters? Because his mother was sick in Yemen, and he couldn't travel to Medina to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and leave his mother behind him, sick and nobody taking care of her. He stayed with her until she passed away. Then after that he came to Medina, but it was late because the Prophet ﷺ passed away already. When Umar met him, he asked him to pray for him as the Prophet ﷺ asked Umar to do. My brothers and sisters, are we willing to give up something that we love because we want to serve and to take care of our parents? Another example of a great imam, his name Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala. This imam, he used to respect and to love his mother so much. His mother used to ask him to take care to a man, his name Amr ibn Dhar. This Amr ibn Dhar is an old man, an imam in that community. But the mother always known Amr ibn Dhar as the imam, as the sheikh of the city or the community. Even though her son Abu Hanifa is the greatest imam in his time. Anyway, Abu Hanifa will carry his mother and will go to Amr ibn Dhar to ask him questions. And after she asks him the questions, Amr ibn Dhar will look at Abu Hanifa and say, she's asking me and this is, and you are her son. Everybody traveled from all over the world to come to study under you. And now she's asking me? He said, yes, because she trusts you. Then he would ask Abu Hanifa, what's the answers for these questions? Abu Hanifa will tell Amr ibn Dhar the answer secretly. Then he will tell Abu Hanifa's mother the answer. Because Abu Hanifa doesn't want to embarrass his mother. He never ever told his mother, that's enough, mother. I can answer you. I'm the one who always give the answers. No. He kept taking her every time she asked to go to that man. He kept taking care of her all his life, rahimahullah ta'ala. When he was forced to be a judge and he said, no, I can't be a judge. I don't want to be a judge. He was actually beaten and humiliated by the ruler in that time, and it happened that he was wounded in his forehead and he started bleeding. So he was seen crying. He told him, why are you crying? He said, because I know if my mother will see this wound in my forehead, she will cry and she will be sad. And this is the last thing I want to happen in this world, to make my mother sad or to see her crying. My brothers and sisters, those people, even they are great imams, great scholars, very famous, but still their mothers and their fathers means a lot to them. When Abu Hanifa's father passed away, he said, I used to give charity every month on his behalf. And I kept for a whole year making only dua for him and my Sheikh Hamad, that Allah forgive them. There is a scholar, his name Dabyan ibn Ali. He said, once I had an argument with my mother. And she went to sleep while she has something in her heart against me. He said, I couldn't go to sleep. I stood up the whole entire night next to her bed. When she woke up for Fajr and she saw me next to her, she said, why are you standing here for? Are you okay? He said, mother, I couldn't go to sleep and I know there is something in your heart against me. I couldn't go to sleep. How many times you have made your parents angry and mad at you and you left the home and you left the house and you didn't even bother yourself to apologize or even never care how they're feeling. Another example, those people treated their mothers and their father different than the way today so many of us treat their parents. Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, another great imam, he said, my brother once spent the whole night praying and I spent the night massaging my mother's feet. He said, I think that what I've been doing the whole night, much better in Allah's eyes than what my brother was doing. Another example of another great imam. His name is Haywa ibn Shuraih, one of the greatest Muslim jurists in Medina. Once was teaching his students, and you can imagine a teacher and a great teacher sitting in the teacher and a great teacher sitting in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, teaching his students. And all of a sudden his mother comes with a bag full of seeds and she tells him, go ahead and feed the chicken. and he leaves the class to feed the chicken. Then he comes back to continue his class. He didn't feel that this is insulting, or this is wrong, or this is not right, because he knows that his mother, she has right on him. Also, Ibn Aun, once his mother called him, he replied with a louder voice. He said, I consider that a sin, and a free slave for that. I consider that a sin, and I repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from it. He said, I will never walk over a roof, and I know my mother is underneath of me, out of respect to her and to his father. My brothers and sisters, there are so many examples like this from the history and the life of the scholars. No matter how old they are, how famous they are, how rich they are, but they still have this great respect to their parents. It is so sad when you hear today about children that they never called their parents. They never bothered to pick up the phone at least to call them in a weekly basis or on a monthly basis, which is not acceptable even monthly basis, in a weekly basis, in a daily basis, ya akhi, ya akhti. It is sad to see children living a luxurious life, enjoying, mashallah, what Allah has bestowed upon them, and their parents are poor. They don't have enough money to live a comfortable life. It is sad that you know that there is some children raise their voice over their parents, stare at their parents, looking straight to their eyes and challenge them. And a'udhu billah, even worse, some might use physical force against their parents. That cannot come out of a Muslim, that he or she will use such attitude with his or her parents. My brothers and sisters, one of the things I would like to mention in related to the subject, that there is so many children cut their ties with their parents, and sadly because of their spouses. So the husband doesn't want his wife to call her mother or to call her father. And the wife tried to get her husband away from his parents. She will not let him support his parents, and he will not let her support her parents. And the husband or the wife can be the reasons for his wife or her husband, for their spouse, to commit one of the worst sins. The Prophet ﷺ said that the worst sin is to commit shirk, to worship other than Allah, then to treat your parents bad, or not to be dutiful and good to your parents. عقوق الوالدين. And in the end, my brothers and sisters, I would like to say that in Islam, there is something it's called rights and duties. Al-Islam, as much as he gives people rights, as much as also put duties on them. Al-Islam, yes, have given the parents so much rights, but he put so much duties on them. So this issue should not be taken from one perspective, because I have seen also some parents, all what they care about, their rights. But what about their children's rights? Islam always balanced this. As much as Islam asks you to be good to your parents, also ask the parents to be good to their children. Al-Islam give rights to the rulers, but also in the same time, Islam give rights to the public, to the common people. Al-Islam give rights to the scholars, but in the same times have given rights to the public over the scholars. So it's balance in Islam. It's not right and it's not acceptable for some parents to misuse this rights or positions that Allah have given them, to use it for personal reasons. That's why when a man came to Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and said, my father ordered me to divorce my wife, and my wife is a such good righteous woman, should I obey my father? And Imam Ahmad said no. So the man said, but Ibn Umar, his father asked him to divorce his wife, and he divorced her. Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, if your father like Umar, divorce her. He's saying that today, people will start misusing the rights, and anybody will misuse his rights, he lose it. That's why if a father, for example, refused to give his daughter to marriage for no good reason, the judge has the right to take this from him. My brothers and sisters, I think we should balance this. So the children should be good to their parents, and parents should take care of their children. With this, I would come to the conclusion of my episode today. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.
I am a Muslim, Islam I